keep this frequency clear.
But guess what? You don't get to tell me when I can stop speaking. Well,
tune in to Queering the Air.
Report on trans and intersex issues with accuracy, dignity, and respect.
Podcast edition, and therefore, sorry, no music.
Change the narrative rather than combat the narrative.
I know who I am. Took me 20 years to get here. I'm not going to let some idiot senator destroy that.
3CR Community Radio.
Our stories are best told when we are the ones telling them. It helps combat the perpetuation of stereotypes, misinformation, and lies.
I discovered in the face of overwhelming prejudice and persecution an incredible strength through being fiercely fabulous.
Welcome to Queering the Air, Sundays from 3 to 4 on 3CR. 3CR is proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
3CR's annual Radiothon fundraiser is almost here.
This June we'll be asking for your donations to support 3CR.
Your donation during Radiothon keeps the station radical and enables us to give voice to our community for another year.
All donations over $2 are tax deductible.
3CR Radiothon is coming. Show your support by donating this June.
3CR, your station, your voice.
Welcome one, welcome all. This is Queering the Air. My name is Madison Moffat. My pronouns are she and her. And I have a rather suspect character staring across the counter. Yes, like that, a stare. Can't see it on radio, but I can tell you it's rather sinister. Explain yourself.
I am Oscar Donahue. My pronouns are they and he, and I do a good sinister stare.
You most certainly do. Congratulations.
Thank you so much for the compliment.
Oh, not a problem, not a problem. So, how have you been?
I have been.
You have been. Yeah. I can confirm that. I can confirm that you have been.
It's true.
Yeah.
And you?
I have also been.
Excellent.
Yes, I've been a human being.
Such a bean.
Such a bean. So, what are we going to start with today? What do we normally start with, Oscar?
I wouldn't know. I've never done this show before.
You've never done this show before.
I've never been here. I'm not
never
sure.
Been here. No, you can't prove nothing. Yes, I do believe it's a little segment, and it's called...
Meow, 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 meow.
Your favorite time.
Meow.
Meow, 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 meow.
Other assorted noises.
Noises, noises, noises.
Other assorted noises.
Noises, noises, noises.
Yes, it's our favourite segment. Our favourite segment called Meow, 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 Meow.
Meow, meow, meow.
Which we meow, meow, meow about all sorts of stuff. Because, of course, for those who don't understand, meow, 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 meow is often a kind of queer version of yada, yada, yada.
I mean,
or et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, yeah, I've heard it.
I've not heard it. I've only ever heard it here.
You've only heard it here? Oh, no, I've maybe it's getting a bit on or something, but you know.
Yeah, I'm very cool.
Yeah.
I couldn't possibly know.
Too hip to know.
That's right.
I'm probably too old not to know. So, yeah, I do know that, yeah, I used to hear that amongst queer friends.
What, just meow, meow, meow?
Yeah, anyway, meow, 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 meow.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Like that, sort of, like yada, 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 or et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I thought we were here having a lovely in-joke just between us gals.
Well, probably, because, you know, as I said, it's dated, I think.
So it is just, it's gone full circle.
It has gone full circle. We'll bring it back. We'll bring it back.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what is happening out there in the wide world that is queer?
Look... Mm. I haven't been part of the wide world that is queer all that much this week. But
you haven't? But?
I am always part of the TGD Book Club.
Yes, you are.
I am. And that is coming up, not this weekend, but next weekend.
Yes.
At 1 till 2:30, both in person and online, at Thorn Harbour Health, 200 Hoddle Street, Abbotsford, and we're going to have a very special guest.
You are?
We are. Julie Peters. Julie Peters is coming.
Ah.
Yeah, I'm so excited. She's going to be talking about archives, autoethnography, and art. So you don't even have to read a book this month.
Well, when you meet with Julie Peters, can you please ask them to return my messages, because I want Julie on the show.
Yeah, I'll wrangle her for you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. I have a task.
Yeah, you have a task. So, TGD Book Club, when is it again?
It's not this weekend, next weekend, 1 p.m.
On Sunday?
On the Saturday.
On the Saturday. Good. Okay. Now, at the Affirmation Station, we've got Trans Life Drawing with Elias Youssef, and that's happening tomorrow.
Ooh.
Monday, the 2nd of June, 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. So this service is for transgender, gender diverse and non-binary people, and for those who are strictly older than 18 years old.
So there's nudity involved?
Probably. Well, you know, it's life drawing.
Does it always mean nudity?
I don't know. I'm not an art connoisseur.
Oh, I hope so.
You hope so. Righty-ho. So, fair enough. So, Elias Youssef, their pronouns are they and he. They are an expert in art therapy, so they know how to, you know, jangle one's therapeutic needs via the mediums that are artistic.
I love to jangle my needs.
Yes, jangle your
please, jangle my needs.
Your emotional and cognitive needs through the arts, through the arts, you know, through those mediums that are of artistic persuasion.
Indeed.
And so what you can expect is a tutored session by said Youssef.
Oh, tutored.
Yeah, so you're not just having to stand there and, you know, work it out for yourself.
That's exciting.
Yeah, beginners up. Beginners up.
Well, it couldn't be beginners down.
No, well, I don't know. That would mean no experts, wouldn't it? Only beginners, if it was beginners down.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the models for this class. I gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Didn't I? Uh-huh. Huh? Yep. Bit of Jimmy Barnes, and I think it was James Brown prior to him. That's a little track there, little ditty. So the models for this class represent a diverse range of bodies, including queer and trans bodies, which are traditionally underrepresented in life drawing spaces. I think that's important.
Yeah. Have you ever been naked for art?
I have. Remember the Wicked Women?
Yes.
Yes. Well, there was a portrait of me and, you know, full side nudity.
And what a beautiful portrait it was.
Side boob and everything. Yeah.
Yes.
Side belly, a lot of side belly. I looked at it and went, oh well, self-acceptance.
Yeah, radical self-acceptance.
Now, there's a refundable deposit for this life drawing thing, but it's $15. But if you attend, or if you, if the need arises, if you cancel more than 2 days in advance, it's refunded.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't, it's a net cost of zero. So I think that's good as well. It's nice and accessible. You're about to sneeze or something, are you?
I burped, and I'm very polite with my burps.
Yeah, very. Well,
unlike some of our...
Why bother? Yeah. Atlas just happily burps on air, just straight into the mic.
He sure does. I'm very demure.
Demure, very mindful. Yeah, sure you are.
Yeah.
Now, what else do we have? Well, we have the Q-Lit Festival, Day of Books. It's happening on the 21st of June, but, you know, you'd want to book now because it's, you know, any of the events will book out pretty soon.
It's, I know a lot of people who are very excited to go.
Yes. So the event's actually by Q-Lit and Hares and Hyenas.
Yay, Hares and Hyenas.
Hooray for Hares and Hyenas.
My fave.
And, you know, hooray for Q-Lit too, you know.
I mean, yeah.
I've been to a workshop of theirs. It was good.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was a few years back, but yeah, it was great.
Awesome.
So they're probably even better now.
You got to be. You want to hope.
Well, you know, learn and improve. So yeah, there's a queer book fair from 11 till 3 on that day. There's a youth workshop, 11 a.m. to 3. There's a panel about queer books that shape generations from 3 to 4. So there's quite a bit. There are free and paid tickets. $15 and $30 tickets are for those financially able to support QLIT's operations and future events.
Great cause.
Yep. So, let's see. That is happening again on the 21st of June, 2025. In the year of our Lord, 2025. Why would I specify 2025? I'm a bit like the Anchorman, you know, in that film, you know. Whatever you put on that teleprompter, he will read it. It's there on the screen, so I said it.
It's for posterity when the, you know, archivists look back fair on enough. This. Yes, they'll look, know.
Let's pretend that's the reason. So 11 a.m. through till 1600 hours, I believe that is, in real person's time, 4 p.m.
Thank you for clarifying. I always get confused in 24-hour time.
Oh, well, you know, I actually panic sometimes when I've got a 24-hour clock at work because I think, oh, no, was it actually 6 or was it 4? You know, am I late? Am I 2 hours late?
Yeah. And, like, time blindness, I have no concept of time. So please just straightforwardly tell me. Don't make me do math.
Oh, well, I'll see if I can help you with the concept of time. You know now.
Vaguely, yes.
Well, that's different to now.
I don't know about that.
Oh, okay. Fair. Now, you really do have a problem with the concept of time. You're quite right. On Saturday, the 14th of June, 2025, at 7:30, 19:30 hours. I think that's what... No. What do they call that? Anyway, not at 7:30, Archer Studio and Archer Magazine, number 21, The Art Issue. And they're having a launch of it. That's very... At the LCI Melbourne.
What's LCI Melbourne?
Well, again, I don't know what the LCI Melbourne is, and we sort of discussed this last week. But 150 Oxford Street, Collingwood is the short answer, I suppose. Now, it is a paid event, so waged $50, community is $35, unwaged is $25. And unhinged, a refused entry.
So you can't go.
It doesn't say that. But, you know. Boom, boom, eh?
Hey.
Yeah, a bit of a dad joke from the trans woman. So, yes, there you go. So, 14th of June, 2025, Archer Studio and Archer Magazine, launch of their issue number 21, The Arts Issue. Lovely. Any comment on it?
I'm excited. Heck yeah.
Yeah. You're going
to go? I want to get back out and do some things this week. So
we'll go together.
Let's go.
We'll go together. Okay. Cult of Earthseed. We actually had Alex Goslow on our show last week, and their show, or the show that they're helping organise, called Cult of Earthseed, is on Saturday the 7th of June. So there is no further Queering the Air show between now and then. So let's... make sure that we mention Cult of Earthseed.
Cult of Earthseed.
Cult of Earthseed. So what is it? Well, the details. Essentially, it's at the Thornbury Bowls Club, and it's a night that starts at 7:30 on June the 7th. Who knows? Who knows when it will end? They'll probably get kicked out at some point. If I know Alex and their gang, probably about at 7:45.
Squat the Bowls Club.
Yeah. Yes, why not?
And sorry, what year was that?
And that's 2025 as well.
Oh, lucky.
Yeah, well, that's right. So it's a night of sound, spoken words and visuals inspired by Octavia E. Butler's prophetic classic Parable of the Sower. It's interesting. So like, there's this sci-fi, you know, for those who didn't tune in last week, you know, there's this sci-fi book that has certain doomsday style or, you know, apocalyptic style themes to it, including... a part of the book where I believe it's the main protagonist is putting together their bag to take with them, you know, because they're basically leaving home in a hurry, you know, like an emergency pack. I can't remember exactly what they called it, the run bag or something like that. And it's all surrounding everything that's being done, spoken word, music, soundscapes, and that is all around that one theme.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
So there's a number of people involved. LXRP, whose single, which released 2 weeks ago, we featured on Queering the Air last week because we're just the hippest cats on the radio waves. That was convincing.
The bee's knees.
We're the bee's knees. Boyo. Super tart. Strange attractor. Dirty church, or dirt church, rather. And zipper repair kit and Odile York.
All my nicknames.
Yeah, well, see,
all
the thing is,
used to describe me, yes.
You kind of sort of get a sense of what the show is going to be like just by hearing the names, don't you?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, it's going to be queer as that letter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really going to tickle my noodle.
It is. It is. Thank you for that. Thank you for that visual. So sadly, the 7th of June, 2025 at 7:30, Cult of Earthseed at the Thornbury Bowls Club.
Club, club, club.
And this has been
meow 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 meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow. Could I get a camera in here?
Yeah, yeah, we should do that. We could do the chicken dance.
Yeah, you do it so well.
There we go.
Amazing.
Yeah, that was meow, 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 meow.
Love. We love, we stand.
Would we wish to continue with the show?
Yeah, go on.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll do that first by having Bronski Beat.
Let's go.
Bronski Beat. So we're going to have a little bit of a feature of Bronski Beat today. The interest level here is that, or the interest piece, is I'm first going to play Bronski Beat when a certain Jimmy Somerville was singing. So it sounds very different band back then. It's rather soulful and, you know, there was somebody with a falsetto. Mm-hmm. I think it was falsetto. No, it was castrata. He had a castrata voice, even though he had not had to have the chop. Well, no, this is a key thing, you know. So he actually conducted studies, you know, serious studies along either as an academic or alongside an academic about the history of castrata. And from memory also had some kind of play and performance around that. Yeah, and he was featured in it. So he took it rather seriously. And you'll hear that sort of that style of voice in this song, Chosen Small Town Boy, which was basically the hit, the big hit that Bronski Beat had in the early 80s from the album The Age of Consent. Now, Bronski Beat had always been, they'd always really pushed their neck out and made very clear that they were gay and unapologetically so. So I think it's an interest piece. And then we'll play, give an example of how it's all downhill from there, because, you know, then they went completely pop. But we'll play that a bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Bronski Beat with Small Town Boy. As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording. I reckon they stole that last bit from Monty Python, you know, the whole, and the Holy Grail. Run away, run away. I reckon that's what it is.
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah, yeah, from the catapult, you know, they're firing the cows and things, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely, definitely. So.
100%, I'm on board with that.
So you heard it first here at Queering the Air.
Mm-hmm, the inside scoop.
The inside scoop. Now, our good friend and co-presenter, Atlas, has been very good to us and provided us with some pre-recorded interviews of some interest.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that he has interviewed are queer migrants who have experienced both in Australia and also, I think, in all three cases, experience with being a migrant in other countries. So part of what they're going to talk about, all three of them, and we'll play them pretty much in succession, although we'll play the scandalous, you know, all downhill from here version of Bronski Beat in between at some point.
Ooh.
Yeah, scandal. But, you know, what we will find, I think, is that there is firstly a diverse range of thoughts and opinions around a lot of aspects of being a migrant in Australia that people like you and I, Oscar, might take hard lines on. Mm. You know, and their views are more nuanced. And I think that's very important.
Definitely.
Really important for us to listen to that. And also some really interesting I was going to say feedback. It feels like feedback about, you know, their experience in Australia as a queer person versus other countries. Because, you know, I think that sometimes we in Australia make the mistake, and I'll qualify why I think it's a mistake, of thinking that Australia is an oppressed country. And, you know, what I mean by that, I'm sort of looking at it from an international Trotskyist point of view, which, you know, is my want. From an internationalist Trotskyist point of view, yes, people in Australia are mistreated. But geopolitically, Australia is actually an oppressing country, you know. And that it's colonialism, of which, you know, is rife here in Australia and is still the dominant cultural paradigm, you know, that across the country, across the world rather, has imposed and oppressed others. And so, you know, while that is not spoken about overtly, I believe, in any of these three interviews, I think that, you know, if we sort of keep that in mind as well, I think it provides an interesting context to what is said.
Keen to learn a thing.
Yeah, I just think this is great. So thank you very much, Atlas. Atlas actually did these interviews with the flu, no less. You know, so hats off to Atlas for their gumption. And the first one will be with Ahimsa, followed by Linda, and then we'll play Bronski Beat's scandalous downhill to disco track.
You are here with Atlas from 3CR's Queering the Air. Would you like to introduce yourself with your name, your pronouns, a little bit about yourself?
I go by Ahimsa. My pronouns are she, her. I've lived in Dubai, Oman, and a little bit in Europe while growing up. In Sri Lanka for a few years. So I'm 26 now, so only like 8 to 10 years. Less than half of my lifetime was actually spent in Sri Lanka, to be honest.
Wow, okay, so you've lived in quite a lot of places. Where did you spend the most time, or has it been really quite spread out?
I think most time would be like two countries, like, which is around 8 years in Dubai and then 8 to 10 years in Sri Lanka. But the fact that I've lived everywhere, like pretty much everywhere, and I've pretty much always been in a multicultural context, like Sri Lankan living in Sri Lanka and just interacting with Sri Lankans, that has been a very small part of my life. I'm really not the typical Sri Lankan in a lot of ways. But then there's probably relatively few people who actually fall into every single stereotype that Sri Lankans have.
Yeah. What kind of stereotypes do you think people have around Sri Lankans?
A lot of it is about the relatively sex-negative attitudes, and then there's also sexism, and then there's also transphobia. Not targeting, I've heard of a few white trans women who was talking about supposedly that there have been incidents of transphobia from the cis men who are South Asian towards them. And, well, I've actually experienced cis men who are South Asian being transphobic towards me too. But then, you know, just because of the sheer number of white people in Australia, it's been more white people that have been transphobic towards me, so I don't really think that there's much of a difference between the South Asian cis people living in Australia versus the, you know, the white cis people living in Australia with regards to transphobia. There's a whole wide variety of people who are very, very supportive allies to very, very transphobic pieces of trash, I would say that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Stated out loud, absolutely.
Exactly.
So when did you move to Australia?
Maybe around 4 years ago. Well, I was supposed to be like 6 years ago, but then first 2 years was COVID lockdowns. Because I was, you know, living with my parents while I was in Sri Lanka, I do have a fair amount of queer experiences there, but then, you know, being out and proud and transitioning and stuff wasn't really an option. Let's be honest, the only reason that my parents are letting me transition is because they cannot control me anymore.
So like a really traditional family value.
They're very traditional. I mean, here's the thing, it's complex to call them traditional or not traditional. In the sense, they're very, very highly educated. Like, my dad is very, like, you know, my mom has completed her master's. My sister is the most educated one. If you're thinking about a very, very strictly patriarchal, traditional family, then my sister would not necessarily be the person that would be most educated. I mean, I would have been coerced into living a male life, and then I would have to be the person that's more educated And that if it was more traditional, I'd have to stick to more cis male norms as a person that's assigned male at birth, pushed more upon me to be more educated, to be that, you know, strongly educated, you know, quote unquote, wise man. Does that make sense? So that would have been, that is the idea that my parents have, and that is the idea that my dad goes by. He wants to be seen as a more wiser, older male figure, and he also wants to be seen as a more educated.
An interesting family to grow up in, then, as somebody Definitely. That's transgender. Had you transitioned when you came across to Australia?
Not really. No. People knew that I was queer. Not really masculine, but presentation-wise, more of a femboy than presenting more female. I would say that I would have been presenting male, but also feminine.
So when you came across to Australia, then you were able to access hormones and begin to transition?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. 1.5 years ago. So yeah, it's different for every trans femme person, depending on what you want to achieve and the gap between what you want to achieve and what you are right now.
How has it felt being out and proud in Australia?
It has been all right-ish.
Yeah.
It has been way better than the reaction that I got in a lot of places in Sri Lanka, I guess. But there has been a lot of bullying and stuff that I did experience back when I was in school. And there's also the fact that you do have certain autistic traits that could have accentuated that too, because autistic people are more likely to get bullied. Can't really differentiate what is regarding me being queer, maybe could be regarding me being, you know, on spectrum.
I think it can be really hard being trans because a lot of us are autistic. What is being singled out for neurodivergence and what's being singled out for, yeah, queerness, for sure.
Yes.
So you moved over to Australia by yourself?
Yes, by myself.
What was that process like?
Moving across wasn't too hard. When I started, it was very scary, and I was like, oh my god, it was a very terrifying experience to, you know, to come into a foreign country. Visited here as a kid, but then I've never really lived here. Well, the whole migrant experience was sometimes daunting, sometimes scary, sometimes even liberating. It's a mixed bag in a sense. It's like, I'm free from family. That's a good part. But I'm also free from family. That's a bad part.
Mm-hmm.
I have a family around me, but then I do not have the expectations that my family would have put on me either.
Yeah. Have you built much of a found family in Australia where you have that sense of family?
I guess so. There are people that I do talk with, mostly like, you know, progressive movements and stuff that I've, you know, volunteered for. Hang out with people, made friends like that a fair amount. I think it's mostly like queer people. It's mostly queer people. Here's the thing, I do not know how I would have made friends if I was not queer. Because this type of person, I do not know how I would have made friends in Australia. One of the things about the queer community is that it's relatively progressive and it's very accepting. And then, you know, there is also the black and brown triangles in it. The inclusivity of queer people of color. Because that has been made a point within the queer community, it's been relatively easier to make friends within the queer community. But being transgender has also made it harder for me to make friends otherwise.
Yeah. So lucky to have that queer community coming across, for sure. I hadn't thought of it from that perspective.
Yeah. Means that there's also the people that are more likely to make friends with you who are Aussies. That means that you do gain the advantages of having easier contacts with the Aussies who are queer, but then there are also Aussies. This means that when you do make friends, you can learn about how to get along with people, you can learn about how to solve the problems that you face, stuff like that. That has been quite helpful to me. Yeah, it's a very double-sided thing. It's a very, you know, double-edged sword being queer, I guess.
Absolutely. I think in any context it is, but particularly when you're migrating to a completely different country, it's its own challenge, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. Do you have any social media?
I do have a public Instagram, ahimsa.unfiltered. So that is AHIMSA. And thank you for having me on.
No problems at all. You are with Atlas from Queering the Air at Melbourne's 3CR Radio. Would you mind introducing yourself with your name and pronouns?
Hey, Atlas. Thank you for having me here today. My name is Linda Cowan, and my pronouns are she, her.
Would you mind telling people who may not be able to guess where you're from?
Yes, I'm originally from the US. I'm a queer lady, and I now live here in Australia, in Melbourne.
So when did you move to Australia?
Oh, honestly, it was about 20 years ago. So yeah, a long time ago.
Quite a while ago. And what was the process like for you coming over?
Well, I really started with the Iraq War and just how unfounded and awful it was that the country I was part of is just completely invading this other land without any justification. And I'd always felt like I didn't quite align with the country I was from. The values were different. You know, I always felt like I didn't quite belong. Why do people care if people are gay? Why do you care who people are dating? It just made no sense to me before I kind of had the wording around it. So I think I always knew I wanted to move, and that was the event that really set that in motion. Yeah, basically it took a few years, found an offshore skills-based visa, but then it took 2 years, they're really expensive. So finally after 2 years we got it, and I came over with my partner in the US, and then yeah, we were here, it was a PR, and we've been here ever since. We absolutely loved it. It's just funny, people always ask me about culture shock. I never had it. I always kind of felt like I should have been from here, especially Melbourne. And now I'm unabashedly a North Sider, so I get it. It's a little bit of a bubble, but yeah, really, really glad to be here.
Yeah, Northside Melbourne is definitely quite a bit of a bubble in terms of queer culture.
Yeah, I always say I did not move 26,000 miles to not be exactly where I want to be.
You chose Melbourne out of everywhere that you could have gone?
Well, a lot of people say, why did I choose Australia? And to be really honest, it's just the place that let me in. You could travel anywhere as an American, but it's really hard to get overseas working visas. There were no working holiday visas. There was nothing. It's so common here to move overseas and come back, whereas at the time, I didn't know anyone who had actually moved from the US. Lots of people moving there because I'm from a really multicultural city. So it's a bit of a leap over the edge, if you know what I mean. So basically chose Australia because they let us in. I mean, it was pretty much that simple. Somewhere that spoke English and wasn't cold.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Melbourne was maybe a cold choice.
Yeah, true. But, you know, there's only two real cities in Australia. And a 5-minute Google search, well, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty clear which one to go for, I think. So how has the culture of being somebody from the LGBT community been compared to being back in the US?
Yeah, I've actually been thinking about that a bit lately. And ironically, I do consider Australia home. And in a lot of ways, I feel like an Australian who just happens to be from the US, you know, while completely recognizing where I'm from and, you know, all the ways that shapes you. But luckily, I'm from the American South, but I, at least at the time, was from a pretty progressive city in the South. I would say that I wasn't out, but I was around a lot of people who were. But then moving here, I was in a community where I felt like I could come out and, you know, develop all these wonderful aspects of my sexuality that either would have taken a really long time in the US or maybe I couldn't have developed as fully.
Yeah, that's really interesting. What is it about Melbourne, Australia that's led you to being able to do that? Is it just that there's less of that societal stigma or is there more there?
Well, I think definitely queer culture is a lot more visible here. It's a lot more accepted. It's not as separate as it might be in the US. You know, we have federal protections around it. It just feels easier and natural and you don't have to go search it out. Again, especially in Melbourne. I know not all of Australia is, you know, perfect. Help, we have to work on things here. But yeah, it felt a lot more accepting. And the actual queer culture here felt more accepting. You know, there is often biophobia, even in the queer community. And I do still see it here, but it felt a lot better than a lot of queer communities in the US.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Yeah, forget lateral violence. Yeah.
I didn't even think about how that might build out within the community over there. Conservative views within the queer community, I guess.
Yeah, for example, there's something called log cabin Republicans, and that's gay people who actually vote Republican. A lot of people, even, you know, especially Americans, would be like, that feels like an oxymoron. That feels like it wouldn't make sense. But yeah, it's a thing. I mean, hopefully not so much now, but you never know.
You do not know.
Mm-hmm. So, for example, when I moved over here, we had marriage equality in the US before we did in Australia. And it was a bit surreal. I'm like, Australia, what are we doing? We're going the wrong way. But I was actually talking to a friend of mine. Him and his husband moved over here from the US, actually from the American South, about 3 months ago. And I was really curious about all of the recent political changes in the US, how their journey was and how it affected them. And it sounds like they moved for a lot of the same reasons. You know, politically, things were just getting worse. But it sounds like it was so much worse than when I lived there. And they basically moved here to get a humanitarian visa. And you don't think about that. People from the US moving to Australia on a humanitarian visa. Just, you know, they've, because January 20th was the inauguration, which is when Donald Trump, you know, became, I say that in quotes, president. And they were saying that almost overnight, they felt like things had completely switched. And they were thinking, are we in the Stranger Things upside down? They felt like they were in a horror movie. Just all these people that they knew as friends and family members became really openly homophobic and racist, like even in federal workplaces. I mean, that's something that I never really would have seen when I lived there, much less open. They had friends who were attacked. They had friends who were openly told, no, you can't have this apartment because you're gay. People in aggressive cities, like, I mean, yeah, it happens here, but not. At least we have the federal protections around it. And his partner was physically attacked. And that was one of the things they're like, all right, we need to get the hell out of here. And so I felt so bad for their situation, but also thinking it's like that, you know, for my queer friends and family back home, I want them to get out of there. But obviously people have family obligations and things like that. And it's not that easy. I think slash kind of hope that we have a lot more people that, you know, make their way over here to what I do really consider is a better life. And I'm not even talking about national healthcare, work-life balance, all the stuff that I usually yap on about when people are like, why'd you move to Australia? But yeah, just basically like, yes, we have the queer protections, you know, not even talking about all the awful legislation against, you know, trans and gender diverse people in the US.
I hear people talk about the US even as a third world country in terms of.
Oh, yeah. I get that. I mean, it is a dictatorship. People are, you know, basically anti the Constitution. The government's not following its own rules more than usual. There's no way. I mean, I haven't wanted to live there since I moved here, but I have extra do not want that. And yeah, I just feel bad for everybody there. I think it would be really hard to be queer in the US, and it's such a shame. And yeah, we have a lot, you know, we have a long ways to go, but wow, it's so much better here. And I'm really glad I moved here.
Yeah. I'm glad you did too. We're better off for having you here. So
well, thank you. I appreciate that.
It's our win. Yeah. I mean, it is really interesting to think at the time that you moved over 20 years ago, you were already thinking those politics were not somewhere that you wanted to be. And then to look at them now and the state of the US politically now is particularly in terms of LGBT rights, it's quite scary.
It's pretty horrific. Yeah, as a woman and as a queer person, awful.
Both of those things, right? Yeah, 100%. Thank you so much for your time to make time to chat to me. It's been really great.
No, well, thank you, Alice. I really appreciate it. It's been really lovely talking to you.
Is there anything that you would like to shout out while you've got the platform?
Support your local LGBTQ communities, pay the rent, support, you know, our Aboriginal, you know, brothers and sisters and non-binary and our rainbow mob. We live in a place that's pretty good, but we need to keep working on it. It's so easy for things to backslide. So I think, you know, like Flat Out is a really good charity for, I think it's Aboriginal and Aboriginal women in, you know, custodian environments like prison, which we know how badly, you know, Aboriginal people are being treated compared to, say, non-Aboriginal people. And I think it's really important just to be aware and not just kind of like, you know, sit on your butt and be like, oh, yeah, I'm here, it's fine. But it could easily backslide and we could do a lot better. So yeah, support your local, you know, queer communities. If you're in the queer community and you hear someone, you know, maybe make a trans joke or something about bisexual people, just speak up and don't do that. Yeah, we really all got to be here for each other. It's really important.
That's a great message. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yes. So that was Linda, and we'll play the next interview very soon. But as promised, first, we're going to descend into disco madness, as did Bronski Beat in 1985, when Jimmy Somerville and Steve Bronski had a little argument. And as the story goes, Jimmy was reading an article in a British tabloid, and it was about a man who had been arrested at a beat. And Jimmy, apparently, who was might have been sort of have a tendency to fly off occasionally, according to Mr. Bronski, said, "That's it. From now on, we're going completely political." Mr. Bronski disagreed and, as a result, recruited John Foster as Somerville's replacement in 1985. And they had a massive hit called Hit That Perfect Beat. Ironic title, considering the background as to why Jimmy was turfed. So there you go.
Rude, in fact.
Very rude. And so, Hit That Perfect Beat by Bronski Beat. As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording. You got that perfect feeling all over them.
Ew.
I'm not sure what that means.
I don't know if I want to know what that means.
Yeah, so again, that was Bronski Beat, version 2.
Mm-hmm.
With Hit That Perfect Beat.
Bangers.
Bang, bang, bang. Now, some might have noted the lyric, touch and kiss strangers if all else fails, hiding from the danger that's been sent from hell. So, you know, there's actual reference to AIDS being a prevailing worry amongst those who visited, places where men had sex with men.
Hmm.
So even within such a poppy tune, there was, thanks to Bronski Beat being political by and large, an important message.
Cool.
Speaking of important messages, here is a further interview by Atlas, this time speaking with Macon.
You are here with Atlas from Queering the Air at 3CR Melbourne, and I am here with...
Michael Mello.
Yeah, and what pronouns do you use?
I go by he, him. I'm a cis, gay gender man.
And I've been saying this with all of our guests because everyone has accents, but where are you from? What country are you from if people can't guess?
Yeah, so I was born and bred in Brazil. And some people, they do say that I don't sound fully Brazilian, but I think that's because I've moved to London. But yeah, we might get to that.
Lovely. So when did you move across to Australia?
So I've moved to Australia, was back in 2017. So it's going for 8 and a half years now.
Wow. So quite a long time. And what prompted you to make the move?
I think Australia was a dream for me since I was maybe 6 or 7. After spending many years in London, I just felt like it was a time to fulfill some of my dreams. And this was one of them. And here I am.
Wow. So just like always been interested in Australia as a place to live.
My mum used to get me like from newspapers, encyclopedia books that would come and they would display some like wild animals. And every single month we had a different theme. Sometimes it would be architecture, places. And I remember coming across this picture of a kangaroo. I remember just being so fascinated. And I think like any 6 years old, you know, I liked animals quite a lot, but I've never seen one before. And I remember just pointing out and saying to her, like, what is this? And she's like, oh, there's a kangaroo and they live in Australia. And that's when I was like, all right, I want to see one of them. And she's like, well, maybe you will see one of them, but we can't get them here. So that was something that kind of sparked, I think, that 6 years old boy just dreaming about coming to see kangaroos.
And did you come and see the kangaroos before you decided to move over here, or was this the whole thing you just went for it?
No, I did not. And in fact, some of my friends, they were like, you must be crazy. It's like, you know, having a dream and just not even bothering going to the country and visiting the place. It's like, just, yeah, I want to move there. I guess I didn't think twice.
So you said you were living in the UK for a while. Is that where you were living before you came to Australia?
Yes. So I was in London for almost 11 years.
And so what was the process like trying to get citizenship and move across to Australia from the UK?
So I was blessed enough, my grandparents, they are Italians, and they gave me citizenship. So I was able to move to London. And, you know, I think just the readaptation itself, luckily enough, I was an European by that time, and I could just live in London without having any worries. And I think that facilitated things quite a lot.
That must have made the process a whole lot easier than it could have been otherwise, for sure. What has the experience of being out as a gay man in Brazil, in the UK and Australia, how has that experience been between places?
I think back in Brazil, I grew up in a very small city. I think my references back in the day were mostly really flamboyant guys. And I think, well, let me step back a little bit. I think it's important, you know, that process of growing up as well, just like any other potentially undeveloped country, we do have quite a lot of, you know, strict laws, and sometimes we do have some of the behaviors that can be acceptable or not in society. And especially growing up in a very Italian Catholic as well, so religion was quite important, and every single weekend I would go to church service as well, so that was quite a friction with my own beliefs as well. Growing up felt quite intense because I always felt really different from some of my friends and cousins as well. And I feel all the representation, like once I started getting into my teens, they were mainly flamboyant boys and they would always be very bullied. And I think this is an aspect as well that sometimes we just have to protect our own identity sometimes for fear of others. And I think in Brazil was an aspect that I've managed to kind of, you know, come out of my shell and really felt that I was ready to really embrace my queerness. When I was 16, just going 17, I think by that time I had quite a lot of friends around me that were very supportive, but I did feel a lot of pressure from my family members, some of them, especially because I was a little bit flamboyant and, you know, I would wear crooked up t-shirts and that would be seen as like very daring. So moving to London when I was a late teenager was quite daunting, but at the same time exciting, because I could really explore everything that I wanted to be. And I think it's a place that allows you really to be everything you want to be. You know, you can be a different every single day and people wouldn't care, because, you know, there's so many of us. Really, London allowed me to embrace even more and discover things for myself, and going to gay clubs, and I've worked in a gay sauna as well for many, many years. So that was a quiet experience by itself. I think London really allowed me to just grow within my own dreams and desires of being the best version that I could, and to really achieve some of the potentials that I really wanted in my life, you know, like higher studies and travel across the European countries. So I feel like the UK, London in special, really has a special place in my heart. And when it comes to Australia, Melbourne, I can only speak from my experience here in Melbourne. I feel quite safe. And sometimes it's quite interesting that I don't think so much about the early days when I was finding myself as a queer cis gay man navigating the space. It's almost like things are already pretty settled, and unlike many places in Brazil where I had discrimination, London, I never felt that way, and I can happily say that I've never felt that here either. That's what makes me feel safe. The midsummer as well, it's a part of the year that we get so excited as well, because it's such a beautiful thing to be together among community, and 3 weeks of events that you get to witness, you know, people having joy and fun of being together, celebrating love and connection. I think it's something quite amazing that we do have those moments to celebrate and feel really empowered by this massive event that takes place over 3 weeks.
Thanks for shouting out Midsummer. That is a really important cultural event for us in Melbourne. So thank you so much for sharing a little bit about yourself with us today, Mike. And
thank you for having me.
So there you go. Diverse views.
Lots of diverse views, even from Atlas there at the end.
What? Do you think Atlas was a little inconsistent?
I think there's a lot of contention around Midsummer.
Oh, yes. Yes, there are. I noted that. Mm. But by the way, you know, this program has actually, to a certain extent, in a qualified way, supported Midsummer, in as much as, and I think this is where Mycon's comments sort of align with previous comments made on the show. We're not necessarily going to endorse the management of Midsummer. I mean, as far as we've been concerned, you know, it's something that needs to be monitored closely, you know, on behalf of the community. The community needs to monitor on behalf of itself any festival organizer, any festival organizing committee. But on the other hand, there are opportunities to be had to be seen and to, you know, to be represented.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so easy to forget what it represents.
Yeah, yeah.
And be, like, purely critical.
Yeah. So, yeah, contentious, because, you know, I think there are some highly valid and understandable misgivings about some aspects of Midsummer. But, yeah, no, I also see the other side of that in terms of visibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So this has been Queering the Air, broadcast on 3CR Radical Radio on 855 on your AM radio dial and digitally streamed on 3cr.org.au streaming. Next up, the Salaam Radio Show and 30 seconds of Wet Leg's new single, Catch These Fists. As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording.